Let us pray. Heavenly Father, John the Baptist pointed us to Jesus. So we pray that we will know Jesus better today and love him more as we consider what John taught. Amen. Our thoughts today then are about John the Baptist. The reading is about John in prison and reveals something of the relationship between John and Jesus. It is John's relationship with Jesus and our relationship with Jesus I would like to consider this morning. John sends his disciples to put to Jesus a question very much on his mind as he looked back on his life from his dark, damp, and dingy prison cell. I would suggest that we too could ask the same question of Jesus. Are you the one who is to come, or should we expect someone else? Are you the one, Jesus, at this busy Christmas time? How can we know you better? As a baby in the womb, John recognized Jesus as a coming Messiah or Christ. His mother Elizabeth reported that her baby leapt for joy as Mary arrived with Jesus in her womb. The child, John, knew Jesus was the Messiah. Elizabeth acknowledged that Mary was the mother of the Lord. It was a warm and peaceful beginning. Mary had just walked from Nazareth to Ein Kerim in the Judean hills close to Jerusalem. She was probably the only visitor at this time during Elizabeth's pregnancy. As Luke reports, Elizabeth spent 5 months in seclusion, amazed that she, who had been barren so long, was expecting a child. There was 6 months difference in the age of the two children. They probably only saw each other at Passover, when it was usual for all Jews to go up to Jerusalem to keep the feast. We know that Jesus was there as a teenage boy, hearing the teachers of the law and asking them questions. When it was discovered he failed to accompany his parents, they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. Perhaps John was one of them. The two boys from then on lived divergent lives. Jesus returned to Nazareth and was obedient to his parents, becoming a carpenter's apprentice and then a skilled carpenter. Meanwhile, John spent time in the desert. There, John lived a simple life, wearing animal skins and eating what the desert provided. He would have endured the blistering sun by day and the cold of night under the clear, starlit skies of the desert. This was John's calling. He needed discipline and hardship to hear God's voice and learn God's ways, so different from the ways of the world. When the word from God was clear and the time had come, John obeyed and went to the Jordan River to preach his message of the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was there at the Jordan that the young men met again. John then knew who Jesus was and his mission, for he told his disciples, "There is the Lamb of God." The jolt came when Jesus, whom he saw as the Lamb of God, came for baptism. John queried it, saying, "Should I not be baptized by you?" Jesus replied, "Let us fulfill all the righteous requirements of the law." So it was in the Jordan River that John experienced anew the presence of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As Jesus went down to the water, the Father spoke, "This is my beloved Son," and the Holy Spirit appeared as a dove. John had a total encounter with the God of Israel. Then John truly knew Jesus was the Messiah, the Christ, Son of God. He told his listeners, "This is one, the latchet of whose shoes I am worthy to unloose. I baptize you with water. He is the one who will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Why then this question we are faced with in Matthew chapter 11? Are you the one who is to come, or do we expect someone else? Let's pause and ask it of ourselves. Who is Jesus? How well do we know him? Perhaps our lives have a faint echo of John's. We may remember our childhood teaching about Jesus. Perhaps into our teenage years, we had an understanding of his friendship. Perhaps we drew apart as we were busy with our vocation in life. There may have been high moments when we were absolutely certain that Jesus was God, full of love, and having paid the price on the cross, ready to heal and to forgive. Time goes on, and a day comes when we are imprisoned by circumstances, perhaps of our own doing and folly, and we doubt. Looking back, we say to ourselves, is the gospel true? Did Jesus, the Son of God, come to earth? Did he die in our place that we might be forgiven? Did he rise again and open a way to heaven? Again, we experience something that John experienced, doubt. I heard something recently about the evangelist and miracle worker, Reinhard Bonnke. He was asked, "Don't you ever doubt?" His reply was, "Yes, I doubt, but then I doubt my doubts, because I realize the enemy of God is behind them, as he was in the garden, when he put into the mind of the woman to doubt God and God's goodness." So, we doubt. We can resist them. But another way to deal with our doubts, Jesus gives us the same answer as he gave the disciples of John. He said, "Tell him, the blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor." For us, it means reading and thinking about the ministry of Jesus and his personality as we read it in the Bible. As we do so, we will encounter the mercy and compassion of God. Jesus, in that passage, met each needy person individually and saw right into their souls. It's the same for us now. We may put on a brave face to come to church or go about our individual lives, but our Lord Jesus knows our deepest needs and calls on us to trust him daily for understanding, forgiveness, healing, and love. The Bible is the place to have our faith renewed and see that Jesus is the one who was to come. Jesus fulfills the Old Testament too. John would know the scriptures intimately. Perhaps when he received the message, he remembered Moses placed in a rock by God to protect him from the power of the divine presence, a situation not unlike John's place in the rocky prison beneath the palace of Herod Antipas. The words, "I am a God of compassion and mercy, slow to anger and of great kindness," would bring him comfort and strength to endure. So we ask ourselves, do we believe Jesus is the one to come, or do we look for another? Unbelief hinders his presence and Jesus' ability to work. It is like a fog limiting our visibility into things spiritual. The Gospel records that Jesus could not perform many miracles in his hometown of Nazareth because they did not believe. Let us do all we can to strengthen our belief by studying his word. So we all need God's mercy and love. Our relationship with Jesus has a transforming power, giving healing or strength to endure. We may see belief working and recognize changed lives in those around us, in our parishes, or even in ourselves. Perhaps we don't make enough of what God does quietly and secretly when we ask him. If you need a renewal of your faith in the mercy of and goodness of God changing lives, come to Alpha this coming January and you'll hear many stories about other people's lives. I remember especially the life of Graham Seed. He's now a pastor and he preaches at conferences. Because as a youth, when he was asked to prove his worth to his gang, he was told to go and lacerate a man's legs with a grass trimmer, something even now that makes me tremble. The horror of that made me sit up and acknowledge the glory of God and what God can do to change us, injured, weak and straying sinners, like he changed Graham. It's a wonderful testimony. I'd love to hear him speak one day. So going back to our passage, Jesus tells us John is special. All through the Old Testament, we can read of prophets like John, hearing from God and taking his message to the people. That message was twofold. First, turn from your wicked ways and return to God. Secondly, God is faithful. His love endures forever, and he cannot abandon his people. God will find a way to restore his relationship with humankind. John is special, Jesus says, because he is not only the last of these prophets, but also the messenger who goes before God himself coming into the world. John then, his work complete, languishes in prison until one day a lavish birthday celebration is held. The guests are well fed and drunk with wine and eager for entertainment. A young woman, taught by her mother to dance in suggestive ways, performs before the crowd, and the king makes a foolish vow to give her anything she asks, up to half his kingdom. The girl goes to her mother for advice, and the mother sees her chance for revenge. She hated John for pointing out that no one should take his brother's wife for himself, as Herod had done. Her suggestion was accepted. John beheaded in prison, and his head on a platter brought to the guests as before their cheering and jeering drunken cries. Evil men and women had triumphed and done their worst. Did evil have the final say? No. Soon John would see the reality of all he had foretold when he greeted the risen and glorified Christ in the courts of heaven in eternity. He knew then forever and ever that Jesus was the one to come. We too will have that privilege one day. The last part of our passage is very interesting, as it is reported that Jesus said, "Even the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist." That means people like us, who turn from their evil, selfish ways and come to Christ. No longer do we have to send messengers on foot to find Jesus. He is here. No longer do we have to walk miles to find him and see him healing, forgiving, and restoring. We can open our Bibles. He is here. As the privileged ones, we can come to Jesus in prayer anytime. He is here. We can make our own at communion the words of the hymn, "Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. There is room in my heart for thee." So, setting aside fashionable doubts, we can build ourselves up in belief. God, in his mercy and love, will give us assurance that Jesus is the one as we turn away from looking for another. Amen.